live. But there's a story here.
We're on the
mic.
'Cause CeCe is plugged in to the entire recruiting world. But right now you got Rock and the Bird, and hopefully Legend will be on later tonight. And as always, we will have a scintillating and interesting discussion. Rock, how you doing, brother?
I am really good. Glad to be on for another week of Bama craziness.
Bama craziness. That's exactly right. And it's, you know, in the discussion you and I had just before we came on the air, you made a comment that, gosh, it's really been Bama-centric with a lot of the stuff in the news. And it's like, yeah, but some of this stuff these guys are digging up. Like, do we want to go ahead and talk about deer oil right now, or can we wait till later in the show for the deer oil? Because I'd love to talk to Carrie about that one as well.
I kind of feel like that whole discussion needs to come with the underscore of a 2 or 3 drink minimum to get a true understanding of it. But if we can wait, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and it's I'll preface that discussion with this: Bama Nation, you can do a stand down. This is such a hyperbole and such much ado about nothing. But good things happening in the world of Bams. I'll be off again next week. Blip's off tonight. He's doing paperwork and doing some things with the hospital and this, that, and the other. But, this should be a fun show. And we've got a little Bama basketball to talk about. We've got some Bama gymnastics. And we're watching Sarah Patterson as she takes her crew to yet, it looks like, another run at a national championship. Of course, we've got Georgia looming this weekend as just the arch enemy of the Bama gymnastics team. So that is a huge meet for our ladies down in Tuscaloosa. Got Arkansas tomorrow night, man, down in Coleman. And I think we should rename that Patterson-Coleman Coliseum after Sarah. But, that should be fun. In fact, I'm going to try to make that game. It'll be the first game I make this year. And, get on down and watch the Razorbacks play the Tide. And we usually play those guys pretty tough. That's usually a good game.
Bama really needs to win that one after that disappointment up in Knoxville.
They they let that get away. And I'm afraid that the victory over Kentucky kind of went to their heads a little bit. And it just shows that there's just not a lot of upper-class leadership on this team, outside of Andrew Steele, it kind of goes away. So, anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
now, you did some Senior Bowl stuff, didn't you?
I did. I covered the Senior Bowl throughout the week for Bama Hammer. And honestly, at the end of the day, there were mixed reviews.
Really? Now, what do you mean? On the game itself or on the kids or what?
On the Bama kids more than anything. The game itself was absolutely miserable. E.J. Manuel leads 2 touchdown drives for the South, and then nothing happens for the next 30 minutes.
Ugh.
It's 3 and out, 4 and out, 5 and out, punt, 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 punt. And there were the 2 MVPs. Let me put it to you like this. The 2 MVPs for each team were defensive linemen.
Right,
E.J.
right.
Manuel got overall outstanding player as a quarterback, but 2 defensive linemen, 1 MVP. So,
what's that tell you? Yeah, that off. And by the way, I think our brother CC Bama, the immortal, the illustrious Carrie, is on with us. Carrie, how you doing tonight? Well, I'm hoping that's Carrie.
Might not be Carrie.
I just put somebody live. Who? 6397, who do we have?
Somebody probably just wants to listen.
Maybe so. That happens all the time. They'll call in and they'll basically just sit and listen to the show. But if it is Carrie, you're live, by the way, brother, so pipe in any time. Or hold your foot up the right way over at your house so that you get the right connection going. Yeah, it's this is such a patchwork quilt of a radio show. It's not even funny. But you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to pound on my brother Rick Carley up here. I can't even really consider myself, you know, in the same breath of in the broadcast crew with these guys. But you know, he leads off his story. I want to say last night with this whole, you know, deer oil thing, And Bama Nation, understand something. The deer oil thing is 2 years old, okay? This is such old news. It's already been, you know, like Guy Fieri on, you know, Diners, Drives, and Dive-Ins. Man, it's been pounded and filleted and chopped until, you know, there's just nothing left to this story. It is complete old history. And Carley leads off, you know, with a straight face. He's like, Rick, you know, you're a pretty good journalist. But then, man, you're down in Mobile, Thomas. They completely botched the rest of his sportscast. They didn't have any video going right. And he just kind of lost it. He lost. I mean, you know, Steve Crocker came over and gave him a hug. Karmic retribution. That's what you get for crapping in your own nest. So, Carley, you know, next time, don't follow Sports Illustrated's lead, who, you know, has become the one of the what do you think? I mean, you're a good writer. You do your research. What do you think of the Sports Illustrated guys dragging this right out of the commode? And, again, it's a two-year-old story, dude.
Well, I think the Alabama part is for sure a two-year-old story. And a quick aside, the fact that he's ignoring cease and desist orders, Alabama has done their due diligence for that. At that point, it's on the players. So I can't fault Alabama at all for anything they're doing. I think the story actually came out because Sports Illustrated is trying to dredge anything up it could about Ray Lewis. You know, Super Bowls this weekend, supposed to be Ray Lewis's final game. So if you've got a story that you've been sitting on or you've been thinking about, let's bring it up and get it out into the public eye. I can't say that I think this type of journalism is any good. If there's a story here, it's a stretch. I think that this company is going to have to answer some questions from some very powerful people in the very near future.
Oh, what a total idiot. I mean, to jump out and admit on the air, and I don't know if they play, I don't know if they played the clip that we saw up here in Mobile, but the clip we had up here is they do an interview of this guy, right, Thomas? And he comes on and, yes, I gave the product to some Alabama players, and I don't know if they used it or not. And he says, and this is after they gave me a cease and desist. He says it on the air after the university says cease and desist, and he's admitting that he's got these guys coming to his room and picking up, you know, here's your fluffy tennis shoes, and here's your deer oil antler rub. Unfreaking believable. What a bonehead.
Well, I can't get past the connotation of, oh, well, it hasn't been proven scientifically right. Therefore, it hasn't been proven scientifically wrong. Therefore, it must be right. And I'm just like, okay, yeah. So I've got this bottle of moonshine that I have added some green food coloring to. And if you drink it,
and you will have magic
elven powers.
And some snake oil as well. In fact,
yeah.
This should go good with the gamers around the country. They can rub this on their foreheads before they strap on their headsets and blow magic at each other. Ugh.
I couldn't believe it. And it's still going on. I do appreciate good journalism and that they're trying to evolve the story and, you know, get more sides out there and whatnot. But this just seems like a whole lot of nothing, a whole lot of trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Again, it's old news.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Rock, it's this is information that is complete 100% old news. I mean, it is not even worth messing with. I mean, it's 2 years old. It's been put to bed. The compliance department at Alabama has done a great job of handling it. There were three kids that this was given to. Whether or not they took it, it's like here. By the way, you've been to conventions, and well, you're in the press, and you know how it is. They give out, little baggies of goodies, and here's a tube of toothpaste, and here's a, with somebody's logo on it, and here's a little, keychain thing with some suntan oil with somebody's logo on it, and here's your media credentials pass, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I showed you the media gift from the BCS title game.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff is common.
Yes. Well, this is the same type of BS. I mean, here, I'm going to give you your free little deer oil pack, and, you take it, I'm never going to use that toothpaste, and I'm not going to ever, I've got a drawer full of crap from conventions that have got different logos on them that have never been looked at. So it's like, oh, gosh, come on. And the fact that we beat this to a pulp 2 years ago.
Well, the Alabama side's definitely been beaten. There are some questions about Ray Lewis and his involvement.
Well, you heard what Ray said.
Oh, yeah. He was, didn't he say it was like a something evil? He tried to turn it into like a weird religious issue briefly and confuse the heck out of me. But that's what I think the primary impetus for the story was. And if that's it, okay. But if that's it, don't just be like, oh, by the way, we brought this up 2 years ago when it happened to Alabama and nothing happened. That I have a problem with that. And I completely agree with you there.
Ray threw this guy completely under the car. I mean, not even the car. He threw him under the bus and then backed up over him. And how ludicrous. Well, he wouldn't have made it into the Super Bowl if he hadn't been using my deer antler oil, rub or spray or whatever that was. And it's like, Ray's like, give me a break. Well, recruiting, and again, Kerry Clark, get your butt on here because I am dying to talk to you tonight on what you've got going on with. And I don't know anything substantial. I've got some opinions on some of the recruits, and I know that you went to now when you made the comment, Thomas, at the Senior Bowl that it was less than stellar. And the Bama kids. Now, didn't Michael Williams play down there and have a good game?
Michael Williams easily had the best week of the four Bama players.
That's what I understood, yeah.
In practice, he consistently showed very high-level blocking talent. He didn't get beat very much, if at all. And you knew about that coming in. You knew Williams, at worst, was going to be that guy that you could send in at the goal line and he'll blow someone up for you.
Right.
But the question that he had to answer was a combination route running and pass catching skill. And particularly in the game, his routes were excellent. And the catches that he made, the 20-yard touchdown from E.J. Manuel, was a little bit more a pretty pass than it was a pretty catch. But at the same time, I defy fans to go out in their backyard tomorrow and have someone try and throw you an over-the-shoulder pass and you make that catch with a guy your size trailing you.
Yeah, covering you. Right.
So it wasn't, yes, E.J. Manuel placed that ball absolutely perfectly, but you've got to have pretty good hands to come down with that in most cases because you're going over a shoulder and you're having trouble locating, you might have trouble locating the ball. There are 1,000 different things that can go wrong with a pass like that.
Sure.
It actually looked a lot like the, in terms of the mechanics of the catch, looked a lot like the Colin Peak, oh shit catch.
Right.
The SEC championship.
So right.
The mechanics were the same there. Past Williams, I mean, it's hard to scout Carson Tinker. He didn't have a bad snap. That's about all I can tell you.
Well, the kid's solid. I mean, he just plays good football.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that if he got drafted, it would be in the sixth or seventh round at the latest.
Right.
But somebody who has a long snapper who's in their mid-30s will pick Carson Tinker up, and he'll bounce around the NFL making the league minimum for 15 years because he's not in a very high. He's not in a very high risk. He's not going to get hurt very often.
Right.
And
he's going to make league minimum. Well, for those playing the home game, the league minimum is at least $550,000. So I sure as hell would have loved that much money when I was I'd love that much money now.
Yeah, anybody on this broadcast would certainly be doing handsprings and hosannas. So, yeah, you know, and the whole story of, you know, it's a nice story, and I wish him well. I hope that, you know, every Bama kid that wants to go to the league, if they get a chance, and I think there's been a lot of nice surprises over the years of you know, lower round draft picks that have come in and played some really good football. So speaking of good football and lower round draft picks and guys moving up, we got guys coming in. Let's take a quick break. Let's bounce out of here for just a moment, and then Rock and I will be back, and we will start dissecting a bit the recruiting for this year and talking about some of the name players that are you know, looking at Bama, what the odds are, at least between the two of us, and maybe Kerry can jump in here in a bit. And really kind of dissect this. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised on some, and I think we're going to be, you know, not unpleasantly, but I think there are going to be some kids that will go places that, you know, they need to go. So you are listening to BAMS Radio, the Wednesday night special. We will be right back.
Blip, AG, and the Bird take on the world with BAMS Radio. Broadcasting globally about Alabama football.
Roll Tide, roll.
Man, if that's you, your cell phone is just terrible tonight.
Well, I've been on here 15 minutes now.
I know. I've been trying to get you on. Have you got us on in the background? Because I'm gonna do you like Feinbaum does. Turn off your radio.
No, I'm not on speakerphone. I'm just off speaker.
Maybe that may be the issue. Maybe the speakerphone. But welcome back. Welcome to BAMS tonight. Haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to your scintillating input on what's going on with recruiting. And you know, I had basically tantalized the listeners before we took the break. We got some big names to talk about, and I know that you've got probably as good a thumb on the pulse as anybody in the state of Alabama. So if you're listening tonight on BAMS Radio, you might want to let your friends know that give us a tune real quick, because we're going to be going through and dissecting the top players and what's left and what we can even really pick up. Kerry,
yes, sir.
Give us some good juju, brother.
Well, we picked up a very good player today in Eddie Jackson.
Boy, howdy.
What's that?
Boy, howdy, did we. He's a terrific player.
And a very underrated guy, a guy that if he'd gone to summer camps and had more films than out, would have been a four-star. And in the minds of the coaches, is a four-star. So that was a big pickup. It may or may not mean that we don't get Von Bell or Antonio Connor, because they seem to be leaning to Tennessee and Ole Miss, respectively.
Yeah.
But it was a great get. And there's going to be some more great gets between now and this time next week.
Well, is there any type of tidbit that you can let, or just in your opinion, say this is who these kids, the great gets, may be signing between now and next Wednesday, or even on next Wednesday?
Yes, sir. One of my best sources thinks that we close out this way. And let me say that this guy is, number one, more optimistic than I am. and number two, better connected than I am.
Okay.
So he's got better sources than me, so I appreciate his optimism for that reason. This
potent
friend of
combination.
Mine tells. What's that?
I said that's a potent combination.
It is. It really is. Better than deer piss or whatever.
No!
Anyway, he went there.
Okay.
Seriously,
this guy thinks we're going to close out like this. Alvin Kamara, D-liner.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets good. Eddie Vanderdoes.
Wow. The kid from the West Coast?
A'shaun Robinson. And Laremy Tunsil.
So you think Tunsil is a strong lean toward us because, you know,
I think he's a Georgia lean.
I do too.
My friend thinks he's going to shock the world on signing day.
That doesn't surprise me though. I mean, it's 5 years ago I would have given us a 20% chance. You know, they were just talking about us, but now under Saban, I don't count any of these guys out, but Tunsil would be a big pickup. Now, it's true that what we're looking for is three quality D linemen, correct, this year?
Yes, three
and
more.
So Vanderdoes would absolutely fill that bill, correct?
Correct.
I mean, the kid's a giant. He's 6'2" and 310. And I would have said that he would have stayed closer to home, that it would have been real hard for us to pull him out of USC or UCLA. But, his name has come up too many times, and I'm with you. I think that we have got a strong probability of Eddie wearing the crimson.
Yeah, especially if Eddie shows up for his visit this weekend, which he's expected to do. It looks a lot better than people want you to think. The one that shocks me among my friends' predictions, though, Bird, is A'shaun Robinson. I've been hearing the guy's solid to Texas, but now I'm starting to hear that Saban and company have been successful in getting him to reconsider. And the irony in this situation, Bird, is that the gentleman recruiting A'shaun for Texas is none other than former Alabama D-line coach Bo Davis.
No kidding. Wow, that's huge. But you know, I think one of the unsung heroes is our D-line coach now, and I think he is doing just a lights-out job, both with just his coaching expertise on the field and then his recruiting. Do you agree?
He's kicking a lot of rumps.
Well, Coach Rumpf, our hat goes off to you because it looks like you have really, really rung the bell, both with, enjoy the raise is all I have to say. You've earned it. You really have done the job. So here we go. I mean, this is going to be fun to watch. Now, there are a bunch of kids that are already that have committed that are already in school right now, correct?
Yes, there are. I wish I had the list memorized, but yes, there are.
Well, I know Henry is one. I know that Cooper Bateman is one. I mean, it's really a who's who of the kids we were after, and I think that you can't put enough value on that early committal and that early start at school with them getting in on the spring practices, with them getting to understand the process in quotes. And the way things are done down there, Saban has built a machine that is now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kerry, Rock, go ahead and jump in on this too, but does it seem like to you guys that what's happened down at university, it's no longer so much the coaches having to ride herd on the players as the players, the seniors and the upperclassmen, the guys that have been through the process, are now kind of taking control and saying, okay, son, this is the way this is done, a la, Barrett Jones. And Barrett, I think at one time, was not the standard of what was down there. And I think more kids now are like Barrett Jones and stepping up and taking control of the team.
Well, I think the phrase machine is perfect. I think Alabama has become, for the foreseeable future, at least as long as Nick Saban is around, a self-perpetuating machine. Saban recruits the best, they buy into the program, and by the time they're third and fourth year players, they're like, this is what you do, do it, we'll win, we'll have a lot of fun winning, and then you'll get paid bukus of money even if you're a long snapper for Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
So
That pregnant silence, Kerry, was for you.
Well, I think that the young men that were sent home from Miami would be the first to tell you that the leadership council of players at the University of Alabama is alive and well.
Yeah. So my theory or my outside observation is not it's not going on fallow ground. I mean, it's very obvious that the kids are stepping up and putting the other kids under their arm and saying, "Look, you see what I've got? Do you want one of these? You know, I've got two. I've got three of them. How would you like to have one?" And I think that they are saying, "If you want this, this is what you have to do to achieve it." It's so powerful. It's just an unbelievable program that has been put together down there. And other teams, what about our buddy up at Vanderbilt? Rock and I were talking about that before the show, and James shooting his mouth off about Nick Saban.
I think it's funny.
I think it's a bitch.
I like Coach Franklin. I don't care what he said about Coach Saban. Listen, let's not be hypocrites. What did we call him when he was at LSU?
I don't know. I didn't call him anything.
Nick Saban.
Of course we did. I did too.
And I didn't know I didn't know anybody that didn't.
Yeah.
So it's just you know, people are jealous, but Coach Franklin makes a lot of jokes that he likes to take back later. He, you know, 6 months ago he was telling anybody that he didn't hire any assistants that had ugly wives. So he says a lot of things that I think he sometimes wishes he could take back.
Yeah.
But the little Nicky Saban comment was said in jest, and it was said at a high school football banquet. It wasn't said at SEC Media Days.
Right.
It was probably said
with love, too. I mean, because we're not getting the context of what was said before, what was said after, and how he actually delivered it. So, you know, and of course, right now I'm being a muckraking journalist, and I'm just stirring the pot just for the hell of it.
No, the whole story is interesting. The context of what he said was, you know, little Nicky Saban, I've got to outwork him. You know, he's the best. I've got to outwork him. So he kind of paid Saban a backhanded compliment. But I completely agree. James Franklin has one of the biggest cases of foot-in-mouth syndrome that I have ever seen a college football coach have. That includes the Honorable Steve Spurrier. But it's not a huge deal. I heard it. I was just kind of like, okay, good luck, and I started laughing. That was my whole reaction. The fact he had to issue an apology, I think everyone would be well served by just calming down.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to keep it stirred up, but what the heck, you know.
Well, demanding an apology, that's all I'm saying.
No, he doesn't deserve to have to give an apology. He was making a joke.
Yeah. And
making a point. He's making a point that he's working hard. He did something nobody in the history of Vanderbilt's done, taking him to a bowl game 2 years in a row. I think he's got the right to run his mouth a little bit. Doesn't bother me at all.
I love him.
He doesn't come out and say Alabama's cheating. He's making a joke about Coach Saban's name. So what?
Yeah, yeah. I love
fine,
him. Go for it and just keep it going. In fact, I was probably during the bowl game when Vandy played whoever it was they played
NC State.
Yeah, NC State. The biggest Vandy fan jumping up and down in the room here, you know. Go Vandy. So it's fun, and it's food for fodder. Now, are you going to be at the game tomorrow night, Kerry?
Yes, sir.
It's was Tennessee as heartbreaking for you as it was for me?
I had to definitely invoke the 24-hour rule.
Yeah. But do you think part of that was
the way it ended?
Yes.
But it was also our fault for missing so many free throws.
Well, and you know, you can't do an El Foldo like that at the end of the game. I mean, just come on, guys. And I made the comment before you came on that what that shows is just a definite lack of mature leadership. And with Steele as the only guy that's the leader on that team, It's situations like that that show up, because you've got to have not just the coach in the huddle that's, you know, kicking the butt. You have to have somebody step up on the team and go, okay, guys, come here. Okay, that's what coach just said. Now, this is what we're going to do on the floor, too. And I don't know that you've got more than Steele with the ability to do that. That just, you know, feels like he can walk in and maybe, you know, maybe the shooters can. I don't know. It just, there's something. I mean, they proved they beat Kentucky. That was a good win for them. I hope they play well against Arkansas because that's usually a good matchup. But the jury is so out on this team this year. It's hard to watch.
Bert, Blip and I discussed this last week. We were trying to put probabilities on the road games and even the remaining home games of the possibility of winning or losing. We both felt like Tennessee and Vandy were 50-50 games. So by losing to Tennessee, it just tells me they need to find a way to win Saturday in Nashville. If they do that, I'll consider the Tennessee game cleansed.
Yes. And you know what, Vandy?
And I expect to win tomorrow because Arkansas is just, they're barely better than Mississippi State.
It's not the Arkansas we've come to know and love in the past.
No, not at all. Oh. Not at all.
Well, and that's going to be fun. And for the first time, you know, in 2 years, Mrs. Bird is going to go to a basketball game with me, and it'll be my first game this year. So I'm really kind of pumped up to get down and go watch the kids play. So it's going to be fun.
Gotta love those 8 o'clock games.
Yeah. Well, what it means is I've got grandbabies coming on tomorrow afternoon. Not that, you know, anybody in the BAMS listenership cares that I'm babysitting a grandbaby tomorrow afternoon, but you know, I'll have a grandbaby, and by the time they get picked up, it'll be time to hop in the car and go down south, and I won't miss any of it because it's an 8 o'clock tip off. So that's good.
Yep. Well, roll tide, Bert.
So you think we've got a end with Eddie. Tunsil, I think, is a question mark. But you think we still got a chance at him? Kim Dichie is completely off the radar. Would you say that?
Oh, I don't even think we're third for him.
We're third?
Yeah. I don't even think we're third. The wild card and the guy that I didn't mention was Reuben Foster. Most people still think he's going to Auburn. But Reuben likes to shock the world. There's still maybe a 30% chance that he could sign with Alabama. It's not off the table on him like it is. Kandichi's off the table. Reuben Foster is not.
Okay.
Tunsil is 50-50.
So we really
– this weekend, we get him. And then A'shaun Robinson is the one that really shocked me because I thought he was from Texas, but apparently he's not. It appears that we're making a strong move on A'shaun Robinson.
Right.
Well, to fill in the A'shaun Robinson story, from what I understand – Saban had an in-home visit with A'shaun and just knocked it out of the park. So there was one of those things that over the past 24, 36 hours, it's like, huh, there's some smoke here. Okay, there's a lot of smoke here. Holy crap, this could happen. And, you know, this gets we can hammer on this until the end of time, but it is really, really hard to pull a commit that has a Texas offer that is committed to Texas out of Texas. It would be probably a bigger deal than getting Eddie Vanderdoes to come cross country at this point. So I had seen the smoke, but I'm like you, Kerry. I have a hard, hard time believing that.
And I'm only getting it from one source, but it's a really good source who has good sources. So I just want to keep A'shaun's name in play, as well as Eddie Vanderdoes. Another wild card bird is Henry Poggi. I'm not 100% sure what he's going to do.
Who?
He had a great fit. Henry Poggi.
Oh, okay, yeah, Poggi, P-O-G-G-I. Okay, yeah.
Right, defensive lineman that played high school ball with Cyrus Jones.
Right.
And his father is his coach, and they made a visit this past weekend. So, you know, the ones that I feel the most comfortable about are D-liner and Alvin Kamara.
And those are huge pickups, by the way.
Oh, sure they are. Yeah.
I mean, huge, huge, huge pickups for Alabama. I mean, what we've got right now, if we were not to sign another kid, is staggering. It really is. I mean, if you were to take the early commits of the ones that basically have already started a school and all that, it's absolutely staggering of what's walking on from a talent perspective onto the university. And then you add some of these guys, and it's holy cow, guys. What kind of world and day are we living in? It's fun to be from Alabama.
You just made a good statement without even realizing it, Bird. You said walking on to the university. They got a three-star quarterback in role right now that's a walk-on, Luke Del Rio, son of Jack Del Rio.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
That's a statement for your program.
When you've got a kid that was offered a scholarship with a major program, Oklahoma State, right, Kerry?
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Del Rio, for the listeners that don't know, was a stellar professional football player. I mean, he's storied. And to have his son basically, and they're California-based, am I right?
Don't know.
I think so.
Well, Jack Del Rio was the Jaguars head coach before this past season where he got fired after a rough go. And then I think he is the current Denver Broncos defensive coordinator.
Yes. Yeah, he's in Denver. But they're out in the West. And I think originally, Jack, they were from the West Coast. But for, you know, his son. And look at what's ahead of him. This kid's a quarterback, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. You got, you know, and all the hyperbole and the, you know, running around and hails and hosannas over AJ coming back, you've got a terrific backup with Alec Morris. I'm still maybe his biggest fan in the state and think he may be one of the best that ever touches the ball at Alabama, and I could be wrong. But then you got behind him, you know, did you guys see this week that looks like Ely is going to talk about transferring
to South Florida? Yeah, that's been in the works for a couple of weeks, but there's been no official word from the university about it.
No, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen the bubble ups, but it's like, you know, we've got two kids right now. You've got Bateman coming in who has got all kinds of raw talent. You've got a kid that now has been in the system for 2 years who is not just raw talent, but I'm telling you, he's a winner of a Tebow type and of a Tebow stature, but with a better arm with Morris. And then you've got a kid that's already got two championship rings. And then this kid, you know, from with Luke says, yeah, I'm going to walk on in Alabama. I mean, it's like, good Lord, what kind of testament is that to the rest of the country? I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Self-perpetuating machine. It's a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah, you're right. It's immovable force meets
irresistible force, immovable object. Here's what you, buddy.
Bail me out.
Physics 101, ladies and gentlemen.
Physics 101. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of fun to watch, and I got to have lunch with Steve Skipper today, my favorite artist in the state, and we were talking about Luke, and both of us were just marveling that, you know, here's a kid that comes from a pedigreed background. I mean, that basically football is talked about 365 days a year in that family. It has been since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. And everything I've heard and read about the kid is he is a superlative athlete and a superlative quarterback. I'm scratching my head a little bit because it's like, yeah, I'm going to walk on at Alabama. Wow. Come and get your ring.
Gonna be an interesting A Day.
Speaking of A Day, you know what we've got in the works for that? Have you guys seen the program Bamazon?
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes. I've got a contact. One of our listeners down in Mobile is putting us in touch with the guys from Bamazon, and they're huge Bama fans, and we're going to get them on the show. You know, since this is not football season, let's face it. Well, we're not going to do deer oil stories, but we'll at least get, you know, some interesting things on for our listeners in the ensuing weeks. But get the Bamazon guys on, have them up and at the Bam's tailgate for the A-Day game. So that should be fun stuff. That's commentary from me to you.
Well, I've seen the show. It's interesting, and I mean, good Lord, it'd be the Alabama version of Swamp People. So why not? I think I'd like to meet some of them.
I think it's a hoot. I think it's a hoot and a half. And they've got one of the things I was told is that one of the guys is an Auburn fan, and they won't let him wear any of his Auburn stuff while they're filming.
I approve of that attitude 150%.
So, you know what? You have to love this group of guys if they won't let this cat, who's the Auburn cat, wear his stuff while they're filming. And they're wearing Bama stuff. I mean, there's no two ways about it when they're doing the show. Too fun.
Absolutely. Well, do we have? I need to take a quick break. So, do you have a break in the works, Bird? Excuse me.
What are you drinking down there? Yeah, you know what? Let's do this. I'll gin up a. And by the way, I'm going to redo all of our breaks. These things are so old, it's ridiculous. But let's go ahead, take a couple minute break here. Shout outs to a couple sponsors from last year, and then we'll be right back on BAMS Radio. Thanks for listening.
Take on the world with BAMS Radio, broadcasting globally about Alabama football. Roll Tide, roll.
Park.
Guests from regional University of Alabama alumni chapters on BAMS Radio are sponsored each week by Sunbelt Inflatable Tents. For family tailgating, tent rental, school or church events, or business promotion, we have the perfect size tent. Visit sunbeltinflatabletents.com.
I want everybody to think here for a second. How much does this game mean to you? Because if it means something to you, you can't stand still. You understand? You play fast. You play strong. You play there and dominate the guy you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our trademark. That's our MO as a team. Like, that's what people know us as.
Get ready for a touchdown of savings that will make you want to do your own end zone dance. With Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Unlike the chain furniture stores, Atlantic Bedding and Furniture gives the Bama fan a choice. In fine furniture at super low prices. We have over 30,000 items always in stock. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture will have exactly what you need for your rec room, man cave, or however you wish to celebrate that latest Bama victory. Our selection includes Simmons, Serta, Broyhill, and other name brands at a fraction of what other chain stores charge. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture is close by in Pelham, Alabama, on Highway 31. Come see us or check out our website at www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, the place to shop for great furniture deals with financing available.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio after a poorly executed selection of breaks. Kerry, is that you back with us at 8377?
Yes, sir. A call back on a better phone, hopefully.
Gosh, thank you. Oh, have mercy. And, you know, I got tired of holding the string as tight as I could with the tin can. I can't hold the tin can and the string and keep it tight and do the mouse and, you know, the chat room at the same time. So thank you for calling, getting a decent phone on this one.
I've been struggling since my exile from the birdcage.
No exile, brother. I'll tell you, I would have loved to have had you over tonight. Actually feel pretty good. So it would be an honor to have you back. But next week, no, don't expect me. And then the week after that, then we're cruising and bruising again. So anyway, and you know, it's kind of I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of friends, to Jamie, you know, who has got her own issues with cancer that she's going through, and I know it's just such an uphill battle. And then Leanna, again, two of my favorite people on the planet, and she was bouncing out and then got a bad prognosis, not a prognosis, but a bad checkup up in Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago. A little big setback, but you know what? They're going to be okay and moving ahead. And Looking forward to, by the way, you'll hear about this in the near future, benefit coming up in the, I believe in the month of May, that the BAMS guys will all be involved with. But a lot of players going to be involved with the benefits, and really, really big name music. And basically it's a benefit, you know, a cancer kick its butt type party that we're going to have, a celebrate life party. But lots coming up in 2013 should be great, and I don't see why we shouldn't have a Sweet 16, and we can, you know, segue. Kerry, anything else on recruiting that you that are just nuggets that you want to give us? Because it's, you know, we're coming down to short strokes. And
well, there's only a few spots left. I guess the only other person that is a possibility, and his name escapes me, help me out here, Thomas, the junior college defensive lineman currently committed to Ole Miss that secretly visited Alabama.
Jaron Reed, I think.
There you go, Jaron
Reed.
Very good. Jaron will have you read. Kind of came out of nowhere. It's a possibility he could sign with Alabama, but I don't think he's ranked as highly as Vander Dose or A'shaun Robinson. So, but just throwing out another name. Again, I want to emphasize that, you know, my source is very optimistic about Laramie Tunsil. I hope he's right, because this is a guy that could come in and push for a job as a freshman, particularly at right tackle. And it's an interesting situation. You know, when Laramie made his visit to Alabama with his parents, the plan that was laid out to him by Coach Saban was that your first year we're going to let you compete at right tackle because that position's open, but then we expect Cyrus Quantrill to go pro, and then your second year we can slide you over to your future NFL position, left tackle. Laramie liked the sound of that. At the same time, Georgia's recruited him very hard, and you know, should, ironically again, should he decide to go to Georgia, his position coach would be former Alabama offensive lineman Will Friend, who's a big part of his recruiting there at Georgia. So Tunsil's one that's up in the air. Like I said earlier, D-liner is definitely going to flip to Alabama. Alvin Kamara, the Georgia's putting the full-court press on him, but they offered Jonathan Ford from North Alabama recently because they didn't feel like they were going to get Kamara. So I feel great about those two guys. I feel like if Vanderdoes shows up for his visit this weekend, they will get him. And like I said, the wild cards, you know, Tunsil, A'shaun Robinson, you know, Reed, the D-lineman, the JUCO D-lineman committed to Ole Miss. And then, of course, Reuben Foster. A lot of people think Reuben's going to go to Auburn, and he may. He may very well do that. But Alabama's definitely still in the running and will be until somebody gets the facts on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's going to look real
always
nice.
Always a fun day.
He's going to look real nice in the shower down there with his Auburn tattoo if he goes to Alabama, is all I got to say.
He's telling the world that tattoo is dedicated to his deceased former Auburn football player cousin that got killed at that pool party. So he's telling, that's his story on the tattoo now.
You know, okay. That's, you know, I'll buy off on that. But, you know, it was kind of stupid to do. I think
a lot was made out of the tattoo, but all that matters is the facts.
Just the facts, man. Just like they used to say on, you know, Car 54 or whatever that program was back in the olden days. And you know, from the chat room, Tide to Bama says, "Why do we need Reuben?" Well, I'll let you guys respond.
I'll tell you why.
Oh well, let me chime in and you follow up. I'll tell you what, Tide. I watched this kid at was it the Army game he played in or the Under Armour game? One of the you know, preliminary, you know, showcase games that you have at the end of the year. He is a load and a half. He is one serious ball player. But Kerry, jump in.
Well, because right now, as a high school player, he's better than every linebacker. Let me rephrase that. He's better than every inside linebacker on the Alabama campus, not named C.J. Mosley. Right now.
Right now.
That's why they need him.
There you go, Tide. That's pretty high praise. And I tell you, I've seen him play twice.
It's not close. It's not close.
He's something else. He is, and not just, and Viking Horse out of the chat room said his speed off the ball is unbelievable. Not only that, Vike, but it's his size. It's the size and the speed both, and he's just got a nose for the football. He's like Vinny Sunseri on steroids, folks. You know, you watch when we watched Vinny and HaHa play in their you know prelim game, Under Armour, Army, whatever it was that they played in. You could tell that both of those kids were ballers. You know, they stood out from the rest of the kids on the field. That's the way this Reuben Foster is, and he is a baller. He's like a dadgum Vinny Sinceri, but he's big like a Rolando McClain. I mean, holy cow, what a specimen, what a football player. And no matter what happened in the past, mental case, you know, it's hard for us to judge what happens with these kids because we live in a Wonder Bread, Hostess Twinkie, Care Bear and Lollipop world, folks, as fans. Let's face it. And a lot of the backgrounds that these kids are coming out of, they do not have the parental guidance. They've got very little home background. A lot of times their support system is something that we would look down our nose at. So their thought process, they don't have somebody to run to. They can say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Or Uncle John or whatever. A lot of times their handlers, I put in quotes, are looking at it on, you know, just like Cam's dad, let's face it, you know, he shopped his son around. A lot of that's going on. So it's, you know, what's happened up to this point with that young man, I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage to us who live in the ivory bubble, the ivory tower, and say, guys, come on, let's try to walk a mile in their shoes and understand their upbringing and how they got to the table that they're at right now. And then with that all under perspective, then it's like you can laugh off the Auburn tattoo, and then you hope and pray they get into a system like Saban's where you end up listening. And have you guys listened to any of the Super Bowl rhetoric and hyperbole at all?
Which one, the Randy Moss stuff? Or
The Mount Cody thing where Cody came on and made the comment that he's, you know, during one of his interviews, he said, the player that I am on the field and the person I am off the field is 100% attributed to Nick Saban and Alabama football. And I think you get kids in that program down there, and they're able to get their lives together, their heads together, and they're prepared then to become, you know, to join what I call a normal society and not have to fall back into some of the ways of their homies. Allah, by the way, gosh, you know, Andre and some of the boneheaded stuff he's done, and Rolo and some of the boneheaded stuff, and again, Steve Skipper and I talked about this at lunch day, and Skip asked me, he says, man, what, Bird, what's going on? I said, again, because they were transition players going from Coach A to Coach B, they didn't have the full access, and I think even the program has changed while Saban has been down there with the way that he grooms and models and helps educate these kids on the field, off the field, in the classroom, and sets levels of expectations for them. And you guys can chime in anytime because now I'm in a soliloquy, but you know, that's why I'm kind of talking to Viking Horse, not Viking Horse, but tied to Bama in the chat room and saying, you know, let's kind of take our blinders off. Let's look at this kid in a little different light. And I'm going to tell you, he's a hell of a football player.
Reuben Foster might be the best inside middle linebacker prospect in the past 10 years. I mean, you're talking a guy that could have an impact like a Patrick Willis does on the 49ers defense. I mean, it could be that big a deal. But anyway, Kerry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
Well, just to add to my earlier point, he's a D'Amico Ryans type of guy. Alabama hadn't had a guy like that since D'Amico left. Rolo was good, but Rolo was up and down, and Rolo struggled in pass coverage, and Rolo had issues and blah, blah, blah. C.J. Mosley, a great player. He'd be the only linebacker on the team better than Reuben the day Reuben stepped on campus. That's number one. Number two, to expand a little bit more on what Bird just said about the support system. A speech was given to a particular prospect that came down to Alabama and Georgia a couple of years ago. He was told while he was on his Alabama visit that there would be a support system in place for him to make sure that he didn't get into any kind of off-field problems or disciplinary situations, or, you know, all the information would be given to him to where he would do the right thing at the right time and not have to worry about being suspended, that kind of thing. The individual chose Georgia. Now he's at Alabama State. does the name Isaiah Crowell ring a bell?
Yes. In fact, that was brought up in the chat room by Viking Horse. Said, yeah, you know, two words, Isaiah Crowell.
Right. And that speech was given to Reuben and his mom during their visit a couple of weeks ago. So if indeed Reuben chooses to sign with Auburn, you will know that he has chosen to disregard that sage advice to I think there's a little fear in Reuben's mind that if he signs with Alabama, he won't get the support he needs from the administrators at Auburn High School as far as qualifying. I think that's a factor. Shouldn't be, but I think it is. And then the whole deal about he wants to be near his mom. It's a pretty good ride from Auburn to Tuscaloosa. But
yeah.
I'm quite certain that there could be a legal way to find his mom a job in Tuscaloosa. I mean,
other schools seem to be able to do it.
We did it for Phil Simms' dad, but we found him a legitimate job. It was not university related. Got an interview, and they hired him. It wasn't, you got to hire this guy. It was, here's an opportunity of a guy that needs to transfer here, and they found him a job. Now he's gone to Virginia. I don't know if they got him a job or not, but it wasn't illegal at all. It can be done. So I don't consider that, and I keep hearing about I want to be close to my kids and mama's fried chicken and yada, yada, yada. But I think there's a little bit of fear in Reuben's mind that the folks at Auburn High won't help him as much if he decides to sign with Alabama. That is the biggest reason that Alabama, the University of Alabama, urged him to transfer to Oxford High, and he chose instead Auburn High for a variety of reasons. But he may end up signing with Auburn. There's at least a 40-45% chance that he will sign with Auburn. It's higher than the chance of anybody else. I think Georgia's kind of faded with him a little bit down the
coast. Yeah, I think so, too.
Alabama's right there in there. Alabama's right there with Reuben. It's not out of the realm of possibility that Alabama could get a signature from Reuben next Tuesday. It's
50-50. And you know what? I think at the end of the day, it depends on the – it's 50-50. And if he comes, God bless him. You're right. I mean, he is an unbelievable talent, and I'd love to see him mature as a person and as a player and go on and make a whole lot of money in the NFL and also come out with a degree and be a contributing member of society. So, you know, we'll see. That's what this funny season's all about. It's speculating on who's going where, who's doing what, and what happens if they do. Before we go to the 9 o'clock break, and I haven't seen Legend call in yet, but let's take a couple of minutes and talk about Ole Miss. Are they just coming out of the blue, or is there a little Auburn magic happening over there with Hugh Freeze? What's going on?
Well, I can jump in on this one. Laquan Treadwell's best friend is actually a freshman DB. Laquan Treadwell, the number one wide receiver, arguably the number one wide receiver in the country. His best friend's a DB on the Ole Miss team. Robert Kimdichie, his brother's on the team. The rest of the stuff they're generating with potentially Chris Jones and Elijah Daniel. Elijah Daniel was reported today might be thinking about going elsewhere.
Really? Okay.
Or at least I saw a headline about it. I didn't actually sit down and read the entire thing. I've had a busy day. But it's one of those things where there are connections to every five-star. And you and I went back and forth about this before the show. There's positive momentum for Ole Miss. Yes, when you don't win an SEC game for two seasons, you almost can go nowhere but up. But it's SEC football. It's a program trending up right now, and it's a group. It's a guy in Hugh Freeze that is, by all accounts, very charismatic and knows what he's doing. He had Arkansas State in their title game when he was there that one year, and he took an Ole Miss team that was putrid. Absolutely awful under Houston Nutt, and they at least made it to a bowl. Now, do they make it to a bowl if Auburn has a pulse and Arkansas has a pulse? Probably not, but you can't deny that they made it and they won the bowl decisively over Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a great point. All great points, Thomas. And another guy that's a wild card, and you have a difficult time getting a good player out of Batesville if Ole Miss wants him. And that's the case with Antonio Connor, an excellent, excellent safety prospect that in his heart probably wants to come to Alabama, but there's just too many factors that's stopping that from happening. Not out of the realm of possibility, but I would call it 75-25 Ole Miss over Alabama to get that kid's signature. But deep in his heart of hearts, he wants to beat Alabama.
Yeah.
But the in-state pressure and the guy they call the tire man in Batesville is basically their Logan Young. It just makes it almost impossible to get a kid. Alabama hasn't gotten a decent player out of Batesville since they got the Shea Townsend and Dwayne Rudd in the same year. With all due respect to Jeremy Griffin, nobody in that state put up a huge fight to get him. So Alabama hasn't gotten a great player out of Batesville since Stallings coached Rudd and Townsend, and that's been a long time, fellas.
Long time ago. Long time ago. Well, the legend has joined us, and we are going to take a quick break. It has been a, you know, I thought we were going to struggle through this first hour, and my gosh, it's absolutely jammed by. Kerry, you going to hang with us for a bit?
No, I'm going to drop off, but I'm looking forward to the signing day show next week.
Oh, man. It's unfortunately, if a miracle happens, I'll be able to join with you, but I'm not holding my breath next week, but thank you for coming on tonight, and as always, your input is absolutely golden. Rock, you and I got the legend. Let's break off to the island. You are listening to BAMS Radio, and we are about to open up for the warm breezes from the tropical area of Legend Island.
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 The Mac Daddy of outlaw sports programs. If you want to talk Bama, Legend welcomes all island members with open arms.
Even if they are painted orange with feathers. Join the ever-expanding crew of sports crazies who are regular visitors to the Legend Island.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday
night. On BAMS Radio. And now, it's time for Legend I Legend I Legend I Legend I Legend.
Ah, yes, America. The legend is back. I've been gone for a little while, but I'm back on the island tonight, and you know what time it is. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes. That time of the year when Nick Saban said the reason he loved college ball more than pro ball was that in the NFL, Birds, you only get one first-round draft pick, but at the University of Alabama, you get 25 first-round draft picks.
Man, yeah. Amen, brother. I love it.
Open the presents, baby. Open the presents. They're everywhere.
Next Wednesday is Christmas number two, you know. You just have to love this. And remember years ago, guys, and this is a little before your time, Thomas, but, you know, we would be dragging the, you know, wondering who was going to basically walk on and commit, one of the Britt brothers, and not to denigrate, by heaven, anybody that wore the crimson during those dark days of DuBose and Shula and yada, 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 but it's just, you know, to sit here and go, we're worrying about the cream of the cream in America. These are the best of the best. This is not, you know, can this guy maybe make it? And, you know, if in 2 years he projects to do this. There's not a kid, I don't think, that we're signing legend that does not have the aptitude and the ability to walk in and make an impact from day one when they put on the jersey and start practicing down in Tuscaloosa. Do you agree?
I agree totally, and I'm excited. I'm telling you, one present that I can't wait to open is O.J. Howard, maybe the best tight end to come to the University of Alabama since Ozzie Newsome.
Ever.
6'6", 220. This kid's a Tony Gonzalez-type player. I mean, and when you start to think about the future at the University of Alabama, I know for years we have put first-round draft picks in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, but the day is coming very soon where we're going to start, well, it even has with Julio and Mark, but the day is coming where we start putting offensive players by the tons in the first round. I'm just not talking about linemen. I'm talking about
skill players, brother. Cooper. Oh, Cooper, don't get me started. I still love Amari Cooper. I still love him.
You think Eddie Lacy...
I still feasted off last year's recruiting, brother.
You think Eddie Lacy's got a chance of going first round this year?
I do think Eddie's got a chance to sneak in late. Eddie's a bull. I mean,
oh, he's a stud.
Talking, yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, when he gets to the combine and they take a look and he takes his shirt off, I mean, it's hard to come by running backs, you know, 6'3", 230. I mean, the guy's got skills, too. So, late, early second round for sure, but could sneak in late in the first round. There's always teams like New England and the Giants, teams that kind of draft late. Of course, the Giants won't be drafting that late this year, but teams like that are always looking for running backs. So, but I tell you what, ain't no doubt about it in my mind that T.J. Yeldon's going to go first round.
We get him for one more year, brother, at least. I mean, he's going to be carrying the rock for Alabama.
Two more years.
We'll
get him sophomore and junior. We'll get him sophomore and junior.
Boy, he's
somewhere he'll be gone.
Derrick Henry is up after Yeldon, and Derrick Henry is going to be just an absolute monster every time.
Listen to us. We've got DeHart, who I still love as one of my, you know, I think is going to be a fabulous player for Alabama that's coming back next year. We've got Jahlstin Fowler, who is just, you know, he's a bull. He's a Sherman tank and a bull and with an attitude coming back next year. I mean, guys, how deep is this pantry?
It's a stable. I mean, these are the days that you dream of at the University of Alabama. I mean, the thought of Henry and Yeldon, I mean, and then you throw Fowler and Hart. I mean, that's just – Thomas, am I wrong? Or, I mean, is it – I mean, I've been through the Pink Pakistan guys of Battle Vodka this week, but I mean, am I wrong to say that we might be on the verge of a UCLA type dynasty here at the University of Alabama?
That I'll say is a little bit of a stretch. What John Wooden did in basketball probably will never be equaled again. But
the guy I'm going to jump in, Thomas. Don't bet against Nick Saban. So continue, my friend.
Oh, okay. We're getting crazy in the touch of college football.
You say that first, and I will. I've been on record on this show,
yep.
And you know me. I am not big on massive, overwhelming predictions.
No.
I've already got Alabama undefeated this upcoming year.
I do, too. I've got my downs on 6 tickets for Pasadena, gentlemen. I mean, I'm telling you.
I get with you on that, by the way, because my mom really my mom wants to get in on that action.
She as soon as I'll tell you what, you after the show, you make sure I've got her cell phone number, and as soon as I get the notification, if she wants in on that, I will get 2 more and add them to my list because I can get as many as I want.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch.
You got it. Only for family.
Got it.
Absolutely. Yep.
This is a wonderful time of the year, folks. You're listening to BAMS Radio Legend Island. Get in on the conversation, 714-510-3707. Why are we so happy? Because we're so rich.
and you know, you say that, but there's no irony or tongue-in-cheek in that. We are blessed beyond all regard in both our football team and personally, so it's great to be from Alabama right now.
And the gifts, they just keep coming. I mean, when you look at this class, you have to. I mean, there are several players that really stand out. Of course, Henry and Howard, you know, them players stand out. Baker, but I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing this Jonathan Allen kid, the defensive end. I've seen some film on him. I just think he's going to be an extraordinary player. And a player to watch is a kid out of Foley, Darius Page.
The kid out of Foley is special, yep.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the next great defensive tackle at the University of Alabama. And if there's an area where people can get in and play, I think it would be – in that interior line. Do y'all agree with me there?
Well, if there's a spot for a guy to come in and compete, the interior of the defensive line is going to be one of those spots with the departure of Jesse Williams.
The only thing that's going to be interesting with the development of that position is you really need to have a guy that can either play both a defensive end when Alabama goes three down linemen or a defensive tackle when the Jack linebacker comes up and puts his hand in the ground. And obviously you'd either have to have a nose tackle, but the nose tackle would in a four down lineman look shift from the nose to, oh gosh, the one gap. I've got my numbers crossed up. But it's a pretty complex thing, but if there's a spot for a guy to come in and really blow something away, it would be an Eddie Vanderdoes or a Darius Page or an Ashawn Robinson. That's going to be where you'll probably see freshmen fight their way into the rotation as long as they're able to prove that they can stand up to the physical punishment that will be the interior of SEC offensive lines.
And you know, let's face it, it's a special kid that can come in and start as a senior out of high school, especially a lineman in the SEC, because they need a year of developing their bodies before they can withstand the rigors of basically, let's face it, you know, the SEC is the AFC, the NFC, and the SEC. It's the third pro league in America, and I don't say that with a whole lot of, not tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Not only is Alabama a dynasty, but the SEC is a dynasty.
Well, I wear my Bama stuff on airplanes, and it's so funny because now, you know, people will kind of give me a little bit of a ration, but they do it with respect. But it's kind of fun to wear your Bama stuff when you're coming home from New York and some of the places I travel to, and get some of the commentary from people around the country. So it really is special. It's a lot of fun.
I'd like to get Thomas's thoughts on the big offensive tackle as I unwrap a few gifts tonight under the recruiting tree here in the Church of College Football. The big Bradley Bozeman kid, 6'5", 315. I'm hearing great things about him. Where do you have him projected, Thomas, and how soon will he make an impact at the University of Alabama?
Well, Bozeman will most likely – Nick Saban will want to redshirt guys if he thinks they're not going to get significant playing time. And I think Bozeman could be physically ready. I mean, he'd be on the cusp. I don't know how much bad weight Bozeman carries right now. I haven't seen him in action as much as I probably should have.
Oh, it's okay. I'm going to let you carry on, but I'll give you some commentary when you're done.
Sure. But in terms of immediate starting, the only real open tackle spot is right tackle, and that looks like a battle that's going to shape up. It's Leon Brown's to lose right now. If Laramie Tunsil decides to come to Alabama, the battle is probably going to shape up between Tunsil and Brown. I've read Tunsil as being – he's been one of the top tackle prospects just in terms of his hip flexibility and his quickness and his size – over the past few years. Like, he's up there with Chantrell Henderson, the number one recruit from the 2009 cycle, I think. I know it was recent. So Bozeman will probably redshirt, but that's not a knock against you. It's okay to go through a year of Scott Cochran's fourth quarter program, because I've also read that he's got the disposition to be just a nasty, mean lineman. And
yep.
And linemen with a mean streak are a good thing. You want your linemen to explode off the ball and just punish the guy in front of them.
Yeah, you know, he was one of the kids. I'm going to jump in real quick, Tom.
Go ahead.
He was one of the kids, and I, you know, when I'm sitting around here and don't have anything to do, I mean, I'm watching the Under Armour game and the Army game, and watching even the practices. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't count him. And I agree with you. I think that he could absolutely use a year under Scott Cochran. But he has got the he dominated, and I did, you know, here's a semi pudgy looking white kid, and by God, he walked out and just bitch slapped whoever was in front of him, and this is the cream of the cream again in high school football that are playing in these things, and every one of these kids is going to a major college at the next level, and Mr. Bozeman is, and I will underscore legend, the real, with two underscores, deal, with three underscores. Mark it down. You're going to love this kid in the near future.
Well, here's the thing. Let me throw this in. Y'all continue on because this is great. And we're just unwrapping gifts tonight. A little weight ain't a bad thing with a lineman. I'd rather have a 300-pounder than a trim 280 guy. You know, I like the mutters.
Yeah, we're gonna need to pull the can on your string tighter, brother. Get up and walk around the room or something if you're on one of those cell phones. By the way, we've got one of our favorite callers on BAMS. Marty is on hold, and we're gonna put him on right now. Good heavens, Marty! It's been a while since I've talked to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Bama Bird. It's good to hear you. I hope everything's going good for you. Say a prayer for you all the time. Hope things are turning up.
Less beyond all words. And for those that don't know, I've got a issue with cancer that I'm dealing with, and going through a semi-experimental regime through one of the best oncological groups here in town, and they are throwing everything at me but the kitchen book. Honestly, I am tolerating it better than I should be able to. It is a absolute blessing. My taste buds are fried. My hands are toast. You know, but by gosh, I've got an appetite. I don't have the nausea. I've got my strength, except for on when chemo day is. And I got one more round, boys. One more round, and then Rocky kicks Apollo Creed's butt in Rocky II. So we're playing Rocky II in this movie. But I appreciate that, and thank you so much. And just want to let everybody know that I'm doing better than I should be, and blessed beyond words.
Well, there's two great things in life. Well, not just in life. But there's two great things that I like, and that's Alabama football and hearing from Bama Bird, man.
Couldn't get those two no better.
Hey, real quick, I got a confession to make.
I'm not a cat, so I don't know if I can
help
you.
I feel a little guilty about it. I'm going to have to come out and say I've been down to Auburn. I have met with some Auburn players, and they've bought into my new Nick Yella tea spray. And I think they're going to do pretty good next year. You might want to watch them. I think it's going to give them a little extra boost.
That's funny.
Oh, my.
Hey, guys, have y'all heard that Mike Blakely, that's just what I'm hearing, I don't know if it's true, has left the team or is leaving the team to get out of Florida? You know, the rumors is, I'm serious. Now, this is not joking. Rumors is that he was stoned out of his gourd in class when the professor called on him for something. You know, no wonder Muschamp didn't want the kid or kicked him out or whatever. So, you know, another bullet going down for Auburn again, if this is true.
Well, it's, you know, and again, I one of the conversations I had at lunch today, and it was like, why is there such a disparity between, you know, what's going on in Alabama and what's going on in Auburn? Because Auburn has got the athletes. I mean, they've gotten the kids. And I said it's an overall program that I don't know any other college in America could pull this off, because this is almost like what Bear did with the iron fist that he controlled that team with. And in this day and age, guys, that does not play, because kids are just different, okay? I mean, they really are. But it's amazing to see the disparity between what's happening with the, you know, typical athletes, put them side by side, and this kid can jump, you know, 4 feet off the ground, and this kid can jump 4 feet two, and this kid can run a, you know, 4.040, and this kid is a 4.01, and you know they're splitting hairs. But what it comes down to, it's what's inside, and that's what I think is really separating this. And we talked about this in the first part of the show, Legend and Marty. We touched a little bit on that, on the full process and the full program that the Alabama kids are going through, that just they end up better human beings. I don't know how to put it other than that, that they just don't fall back into the hood as easily. And they seem to mature better, and they seem to, you know, they seem to come out and adapt to society better than some of the kids at other schools are let kind of, you know, to do what they want to do. I call it the DJ Hall syndrome.
Hey, I've got a quick question for maybe for Thomas, Rock Thomas, and maybe the panel there is, who all redshirted last year that the interior lineman that redshirted? I know Tolson, didn't he get the wrestler from wherever he come from?
Yeah,
didn't he,
Dalvin Thomas
he redshirted?
Redshirted. I believe Corin Kervin did. And the big one that you probably will start hearing about is Alphonse Taylor.
Yes.
Four-star lineman out of Davidson and Mobile. His position is very unsettled. I hope he can dodge what kind of happened to B.J. Scott, where he got rotated around a lot. He has the feet to be a very good right tackle. I'm not quite as sure about him on the left side, but he also has the just size and burst to be a vicious three technique defensive tackle or a right play right over the nose. But of those three, Tomlinson's really interesting too, because like you said, Marty, he is a very high level wrestler. So he understands use of hands and use of leverage. Any of those kids could really explode because they've had that year of fourth quarter program like we touched on earlier. And they've got they'll be able to do the little things. Tomlinson's wrestling will serve him because he knows where to put his hands. Taylor's natural athleticism, wherever he falls, will let him excel at the position, or at least give him enough of a base to really learn the one position he'll be stuck at and continue playing there. So those are the big three that I can remember off the top of my head from last year's class that have redshirted along the defensive line.
Well, Michael Fanning, too. I mean, if he could ever get his head on his shoulders right.
Oh,
and that kid's got the athletic ability, man, to be a great player. I don't know what's going on with him, but I'm really hoping he's going to end up having a breakout year next year, hopefully.
If LaMichael Fanning gets his head right, be unbelievable. But anyway, Legend, I cut you off. I'm sorry. What you got?
No, that's all right, Thomas. I was just thinking that Fanning and Pagan, I think, are going to have monster years next year. That's just a feeling I get. When I look at that interior line, I'm really not worried at all. Because there's a lot of talent coming back there, and I do think that Fannin and Pagan will be two guys that kind of take a next level step this next year at that defensive line position. I don't usually forget players, but who's the big nose guard out of Memphis? I'm forgetting.
Brandon Ivory.
Yes. Where we see him at coming into this season?
Somebody's got to step up and play nose. That was my next comment, because the key to the entire defense with Alabama is having somebody that can jam that middle and allow the linebackers to collapse and do their thing. And the question I've got for you guys is, who do you see as the front runner to take over for the mighty Maiori?
Ivory right now.
I think so too. But is there anybody?
The backup.
Yeah, Darren Lake is the backup, and Ivory is probably going to have a fight on his hands. I think Darren Lake is probably a little more naturally athletic and maybe a little more motivated, but Ivory's been in the system a couple of years, and he is a big kid, and he's performed well. The times that he had to play when
right.
Jesse Williams was hurt
right.
or when he got garbage time, he played well. So is it going to be a position battle? Yes, it is absolutely going to be a big position battle. Is it something where if Ivory loses, Alabama's going to take a huge step back? No. If Ivory loses the position battle, it's because Darren Lake is legitimately better, which is something that I believe Carrie brought up when we were talking about it throughout the season, that Lake, once he gets everything figured out, will probably take over the position. It's just a question of when and how.
What is Lake's status next year as far as, is he a redshirt sophomore or what?
He'll be a true sophomore.
True sophomore, okay.
He was going to redshirt, but Brandon Ivory had that ankle problem during the middle of the season. So they had to pull the red shirt off Lake just to try and get him some experience in case what happened. If You remember in the SEC championship game when Jesse Williams goes down, Ivory's a little bit slow, and if Ivory wasn't able to do it, which he was in the end, Lake would have had to come in, and you definitely don't want to pull a red shirt off of a kid in a linchpin position like the nose tackle. Oh, by the way, son, your first snaps are going to be against Georgia with the SEC championship game on the line. Yeah. That's a recipe for disaster. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, this is a place where Darius Page might figure in this coming season also.
Do you think so, really? I mean, does he have
really
the size?
Do.
I mean, and the stamina to be able to go in and, again, I mean, the SEC is just is a grinder. It's a grinder, yeah. I mean, we both had the same thought.
Let me say something else I've heard, and let me throw this out. And Marty's been down to Auburn with that Nick spray, so maybe he heard something, but I hear that D. Liner is going to end up at Alabama, not Auburn. Have y'all heard anything about that?
I think that's a lock.
Yeah, I would put my name behind that one. Everything I've read is Liner to Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's a lock, legend. I think he's absolutely going to be wearing the crimson next year.
What kind of player
also,
is he? Go ahead, Marty.
Also, I heard an interview tonight on another station of Vanderdose's head coach out in California, talking about his visit to Alabama this weekend and talking about what kind of kid that is and what real shot Alabama had for him. And he talked very highly of Alabama. And he's coming down here not just for a courtesy visit, but a serious visit to see if this is where he wants to go to school at.
He's special,
I think Alabama's
guys.
Got a great shot at him. Hearing that tonight.
He is a special, special player. And if we do get him to sign, that will be not just a cherry on top of this ice cream sundae, but that's a cherry with sprinkles and everything else. I mean, he is gifted, he is talented, and he is big, and he could probably come in and compete, if not to start, but as one of the first rotation in, you know, once he learns the system. He is something else.
Vanderdose was considered, I don't remember if he was defensive MVP of the U.S. Army All-America game, but everything I read in terms of stock up type things, Vanderdose was near the top of the list. Great kid. You want someone like that in your program. But to answer your question on D. Liner, legend, Liner's about 6'2", 275. He doesn't have enough weight on him right now to be a nose tackle prospect, which is okay.
Yeah, I know he was a defensive end. I just was throwing out there that I hear that's the big rumor going around Auburn, that we're going around the college recruiting ranks.
Yeah, Liner's coming to Alabama.
How does he project? Who does he compare to?
I'm reluctant to throw out the Marcel Darius comparison because that's a tall, tall order to live up to. But once he puts a little bit more good weight on, he's a little light to be a defensive end at 275. I can't believe I'm saying that, but he's a little light to be a starting 3-4 defensive end. You want your starting defensive end around 300, 310-ish. Ironically, Eddie Vanderdose is right there now, so even if he doesn't get into the rotation at nose tackle, he could easily come in as a defensive end, and I think he's being told he could play defensive end. But Liner and Vanderdose were both projecting as defensive ends as far as I know, and once Liner gets a little more weight, he'll definitely be in the rotation. He might still be able to break in because he's a very quick first step. And when I say that, it sounds exactly like what I mean. When the ball's snapped, who is going to get their foot in the ground, put their foot in the ground fastest, explode up the line, and set up a tackle for a move, whether you're going to bull the tackle or swim the tackle or whatever it is you're going to do on a given play. And you can't coach a quick first step. You can coach technique to go with a quick first step, but if you're 300 pounds and you've got quick feet, you can't coach it. You just have it and you use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, guys.
I kind of noticed that Alabama this past year in particular was beginning to kind of get kind of a little pro stylish in the fact that they had defensive linemen for certain downs. And I think D. Liner could definitely be a pass rusher. And that's something that Jonathan Allen kind of brings to the table, too. He's another pass rushing specialist. But the thing so impressive about Alabama, I know the panel will agree, our linebackers are 260 pounds. So,
Marty, what you're trying to edge in here, man? We're just usurping the whole time. What were you trying to say?
Oh, that's fine. I love listening to Legend, but I was talking about. I heard, and maybe Thomas knows better than I do, but I've heard tonight that the Robinson kid from Texas, the Texas commit, Nick Saban had an in-home visit with him and,
yep.
and blew him away.
Yep.
I mean, he is a really serious looking at Alabama, and Alabama does have a decent chance of signing that kid.
Yes, that's we got that. I don't know if you heard the first part of the show when Kerry was on with us. And Kerry, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you've got friends that want to know what's going on as far as the heartbeat of Alabama football and what's going on behind the scenes, Kerry Clark is as wired as anybody in this state. And he made the comment, Marty, that it looks like we have got a extremely good shot at bringing this kid in from Texas, and it's blowing the Texas guys' minds. I mean, the Texas coaches are just like in complete panic. So,
well, and I apologize, but I didn't hear that first part of it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, I don't care what part of the show you listen to. Ask what you want to.
Yeah, just to reiterate, I realize I said this earlier on the show, but I'll reiterate for you, Marty. Pulling Eddie Vanderdoes would be a big deal. You're asking a very highly rated kid to come cross country to play at Alabama. But I would say if Alabama pulls Ashawn Robinson from Texas,
yep.
that's probably, if not Nick Saban's biggest recruiting coup at Alabama, it's got to be top five. Ashawn Robinson got his offer like Texas generally does at Texas's junior day. He commits shortly thereafter. He has stayed constant as a Texas commit for the better part of a year.
2 years. Two years. Yeah.
He's been committed to Texas for 2 years now. And at the end of the process, Nick Saban basically swoops in like an avenging phoenix and is like, I'm going to take this guy and there's nothing you can do about it. And he's a really good player.
Yeah. He's like Amari Cooper type impact player. Of course, he doesn't play that position, but he is an Amari Cooper type. Yeah, he's got the kind of talent that you look at him and go, he could be playing the next level right now, you know.
I got one more thing I want to say, then I'm going to get off here and let y'all guys talk. But has the panel here read the Bleacher Report where they talked about Saban has started a new recruit to recruit for their spread offense on his defense?
I have not heard that.
Doesn't really surprise me, but how does the article read? Then I can give you my take on it.
I've just seen the parts of it. I don't necessarily read everything that they say on Bleacher Report, but it's just talking about he's got a new way, going to change the way that they recruit for the defense to go more like for the D-liner type person, the more athletic type, faster on the line to cover the spread, per se. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if that means getting away from the 3-4. It really didn't go in depth on exactly what they mean by that.
Can I make a bold prediction right now for the Texas A&M game? You won't see a 3-4 for the Texas A&M game. You're going to see five down linemen, and you're going to see those guys planted like statues on the field. And Johnny Manziel is not going to do the bullshit that he does with most other teams, because you know what? There's going to be nowhere for that boy to go. He's going to look up and see a solid wall of crimson elephants standing in front of him. Now that,
Alabama's base defense will be a 5-1-5. Linebacker will be C.J. Mosley, and you'll have just speed on the back end.
Am I right, Thomas? Do you agree with me?
I think you're absolutely right. They're going to play the gap sound thing.
Yep.
That they did against Denard Robinson.
Yep.
They're going to force Manziel to throw. Manziel's going to have a couple of good wide receivers with Mike Evans and some of the freshmen they've got coming in, particularly Ricky Seals-Jones. But if Manziel manages to break contain against five people, which is absurdly difficult to do, I mean, C.J. Mosley ran down Everett Golson. Johnny Manziel is not much faster than Everett Golson.
No, and with five guys out there, guess what? It's all zones and lane, and that's one of the things that coach is teaching these guys is to basically mind your zone, that's your area. Don't get out of it. And if he moves your direction, now all of a sudden you spring into action. And it's going to be a thing of joy and a thing of beauty. And here's the last part of that, Marty. I'm going to go ahead and project a big win in Texas A&M for Alabama, because we've got a bye week before. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. We have a bye week before we play Texas A&M at the first of the season, by the way. So this is going to be, you know, they've already got Texas A&M anointed as a potential national championship team. You got to beat Alabama, son, and you ain't going to beat Alabama, because you beat an Alabama team that was, their butts were dragging. They had left everything they had on the football field down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with LSU, and had nothing left in the gas tank whenever they had to get up to play A&M. So, okay, off soapbox.
I will say, God bless you, Bird. Hey, Marty, we love you, man. Appreciate you. But, hey, I say this. I see a ranking this week that had Alabama 1 and A&M 2 going into next season. That game will be a 1-versus-2 showdown. So.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, it won't be that close.
That's a mismatch. Legend, I'm not – I can't disagree more with that ranking. Johnny Manziel is the real deal. He's a good football player. He probably hasn't played his best football. But look at what Texas A&M lost. They lost their top three wide receivers. I don't give a fig how good Kevin Sumlin is at developing talent. There's going to be a drop-off when you lose three senior wide receivers, one of whom is Ryan Swope, who held functionally every receiving record at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Then you look at – let's look at the offensive line. They lose the best tackle in the country.
Yep.
And they don't lose their other tackle, but he'll be back. He'll be on a new position, different side. So that side's still fine. But what no one howls about is they're losing their four-year starting center. Now, you would think, oh, no big deal. The returning tackle's brother is just going to slide in there and it's going to be fine. Well, okay, let's say this new center comes in and then he misses a protection call. Do you really think Johnny Manziel is going to be able to juke out C.J. Mosley on a busted cover, on a busted protection?
No.
I'm with y'all. I think Alabama wins that game handily. But I also would agree with you. I kind of knew Manziel was a bad boy, but what I seen him do against Oklahoma, that was nasty.
That was nasty.
I will say this right here. That left tackle next year is Clay Matthews' son, and that's kind of like moving Barrett Jones from center to left tackle. It ain't going to be a big drop-off probably. But at the same time, I think we beat the hell out of Texas A&M.
On the offense. That's just on the offensive side of the ball. Demontre Moore, the do-everything Texas A&M defensive end who went off to the NFL. That was a legitimate first-team All-America type player. There's no one on A&M's defense that's going to be able to take up that production. Their secondary wasn't very good last year. And what the strength of the defense was the front seven. The front seven got gutted by graduations and early departures for the NFL. So now you've got a weakened front seven, a stronger secondary, but the fact that the front seven will give A.J. McCarron a year to pitch a tent on Kyle Field and find Amari Cooper that's run the secondary ragged all day is going to make the secondary look bad anyway. So I'm not buying the Texas A&M thing, and it's not because A&M beat Bama. I just think there are enough holes that people are deciding to gloss over because of the awesomeness of Kevin Sumlin. And I didn't even mention the fact that Johnny Manziel's coach, Cliff Kingsbury, is not there anymore. He is at Texas Tech. So this is a very stacked deck against Texas A&M. And I would imagine that the national media is going to either completely jump on the bandwagon that I am now firmly in grasping the reins on, or they're going to go nose to nose with me, and when I'm right, I'm just going to sit here like a kingpin being like, I'm right, bitches. Ha. That's how it's going to go.
Uh-oh, Thomas Watts throwing out bitches. Watch out. We're getting crazy.
Rock's going all Bird on us. He's preaching tonight, man.
Well, let me throw this at y'all then. I have the feeling that Texas A&M is going to knock LSU off the perch. And become,
no.
Don't think so.
No. I, guys, I got to tell you, LSU is LSU, and they are going to be as bad and fearsome as any team we face next year. And thank you, Jesus. My hands are up to heaven right now as we speak, as I'm sitting in the control room in the BAMS control room high atop Bluff Park. I'm going to tell you, we got a bye week against LSU as well. Take that and put it in your pipe, Les Miles. You give Nick Saban an extra week to prepare for anybody, and they're going to be in deep squat. But I'm going to tell you right now, legend, LSU is... We need to get our friend Danny Sheridan back on the show, but I think he will agree, is probably one of the most talented teams in America, period, coming in next year.
If LSU can find some leadership, absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to be scary good. I mean, LSU will, again, be just a huge nemesis, but, again, we're playing at Bryant-Denny. We got a week off before we play them. We won't be tired and beat up. And
we owe them at Bryant-Denny, too.
We owe them a big one at Bryant-Denny. They walked out. I'm so tired of hearing LSU fans look at me and go, "Well, yeah, we beat you." I said, "You got out based on 5 missed field goals, you sorry sack of shit. Don't you sit there and get off on me talking to me about how you beat us at Bryant-Denny. You got out by the skin of your teeth, and you know it." Man, tiger bait my butt. Hmm.
We got kind of preachy tonight. It's new and different. It's kind of fun.
Well, you know, I haven't been on in a couple of weeks, so it's like I've got a lot built up that I've got to exercise. You know, I'm bamming tonight. It's all about bams. I actually had dinner with a dear friend of mine, a couple of guys that I ride motorcycles with, and he is as hardcore an Auburn fan. They were talking about the show, and he said, "Yeah, I've listened to a couple of them," but he said, "I just can't hardly go. It's too much Bama." I just wanted to get up and dance. You know, it's like, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear an Auburn fan. It's too much Bama. That's right. No Rick Carly here, baby. It's nothing but Bama.
No Rick Carly here.
Speaking of Rick Carly, how's our boy? Have you talked to Feinbaum lately, legend?
No, I haven't got a hold of him this week, but I've been trying to. Evidently, he's in hiding.
Well, you can understand from a legality perspective. I mean, the last thing they want to do is jeopardize his next career, whatever that is, and I think you and I both have a good idea what that might be. But
he's the man now. Ain't no doubt about it when he shows back up. He's
the best in the United States. He's the best in the United States. Part of it's going to be national. Part of it's going to be local. But, you know, he's having to abide by his serious thing because that's national. He's having to abide by his jocks thing, and that's local. So you can expect him exploding into a much larger footprint across the United States. And I don't know that for a fact, but I can just, being from the industry, speculate on all that. But
There's one rumor it has a TV show kind of like the Dan Patrick show. Wouldn't that be cool if the legend was on TV? That would be cool.
God, you're too ugly. You put my face on with your talent, and then we'd have something.
I don't know about that.
You know what? Our phone lines are open tonight. We're having a fun show, and it's going by way too fast. But the phone lines are open. Please give us a call. Got two ways to call, 714-510-3707. Again, that's 714-510-3707. And we've also got a toll-free call at 877-763-8728. Hey, BAMS is in the high time, in the big time. So love to hear from you. Give us a call. You got Legend, you got Bird, you got Rock Watts, and let's talk some basketball. Let's talk some gymnastics. Let's talk some Alabama football. Let's talk recruiting. We don't care if it's Alabama-based, then let's do it.
Hey, how disappointed was y'all with the Tennessee game on Saturday? I was quite disappointed myself.
I was gutted. I'll be honest with you, I was gutted. After beating Kentucky, I really thought, you know, and they let that get away from them. That just shows me there's not enough on-the-floor leadership to take control of a game, not from a bench, but from on the floor, and gut out a tough win when you're on the road. They're just not there yet.
I don't understand sometimes. You know, when I played in school, in high school, whoever was the best offensive player, that was the man that took the shots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think Alabama needs to get to the point and figure out who needs to be shooting the ball on the offensive end and who doesn't need to be
seen. Is that Relaford? Is that Lucy? You know, and to me, and I think they're starting, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you understand basketball and you're a good basketball mind, but I think they've got a little bit of a rhythm now with Nick Jacobs and Musa Gay. It looks like Musa Gay is playing better. He's good on defense. He's not great, but he's good. He's doing what he needs to do. But, you know, me, if I could keep Nick Jacobs on the floor longer, I think they'd have better offensive production from inside because he can score. Plus, he's got an attitude. Man, he took over the Kentucky game. When he came off the bench, came into that game, that 7 or 8 minutes, it was like the Nick Jacobs show. It was like, I'm here. This is my lane. I'm going to own this. You're not coming in here. It was fun to watch. I mean, it really was.
Well, I think Relaford has to take on his mind and just understand that he has to be the Chris Paul of this team for this team to be successful. This team cannot get away from him on the offensive end. And, I mean, I looked up one time Saturday. We had 25 points in the first half, had a good flow going. Next thing, we're struggling to get over 50. So I was really disappointed with that loss. Just throwing in a little Bama basketball here.
You know what? I love Bama basketball, and I am still a Coach Anthony Grant fan. I think he's, you know, given what he's got with the talent he's got and the way he's putting it together, I think he's a quality coach. I'm just so hungry to see us reach that next level that, God grant me the patience and the serenity and whatever that Irish prayer is, but man, you know, it's just, I'm hungry for a winner. I want to see a Sweet 16 team. I want people to be afraid to play Alabama, whether it's at home, you know, at Coleman-Patterson Coliseum or on the road.
Well, I think the talent's there. It's just a matter of chemistry.
Well, it's leadership. And you know, again, we saw that this week at Tennessee. The lack of floor leadership. You've got to have a coach that understands how to make the moves from the sideline, but you have a floor player that will absolutely, you know, after a timeout, pull that team off to the side and say, now, okay, that's what coach said, now here's what I'm going to tell you. And I don't see that right now, and Steele is sort of, kind of, but you need somebody that's out there, you know, every portion of the game, not just somebody comes in off the bench and then pulls them together a little bit. So that, but that's my take on it.
Well, I'd like to throw this question out there. Is Trevor Lacy the go-to guy? Is he a next-level player?
You're saying, is Trevor Lacy the guy that'll take Alabama to the next level?
Is he the guy? Is he the guy that we should hitch our wagon to?
I don't think so.
Is he that talented? I know he was a five-star player coming out of Butler. I've seen him play in high school, extraordinary player. But is he a next-level NBA-type player that can carry Alabama on his back?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Maybe next year, legend, but not this year. He hasn't. Now, there's still a lot of ball left to be played, okay? And so far, from what I've seen as of from preseason through right now, I'd have to say absolutely not. But that's not to say that he doesn't fill those shoes. And you see glimpses of that, but it needs to be consistent throughout the whole game. And when they go in these doggone scoring droughts, somebody has to basically be the guy that steps up and says no, okay? And right now, he can't do it, and I'd love to see Cooper play more. And here's a wild thought. Y'all remember a guy named Magic Johnson?
Yep.
Remember how tall was Magic? 6'7"? 6'8"?
6'8".
Don't we have a kid playing that's a five-star player right now that's about 6'7", 6'8"?
Yes. I see where you're going with this.
I don't know why in God's happy name we don't let him handle the ball, because the young man can handle the ball. And I would absolutely, instead of posting him up down low and getting the crap beat out of him, stick him out front, like the kid from Tulane, who we could not stop, by the way. I forget the young man's name. But they posted him outside handling the ball at 6'7", and he kicked our butt. And if I'm remembering, we lost to Tulane at home.
correct.
So, you know, this is me being a sideline coach, but, you know, just to stir the pot, man, wouldn't you love to see him handle that ball?
Well, here's the thing I know about Alabama basketball. We are there defensively. Defensively, we are at a championship level. But at some point in the Grant era, I would like to see a more wide open offense. Something's going wrong on the offensive side of the ball. It's obvious.
Big kid and quit running these, you know, and I agree with the play calling and what they're doing on offense and the set plays and yada, yada, yada. But if you don't have the horses inside to sweep the boards when you miss your shot, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Well, that's the problem right now. With Engstrom going out with an ACL, Musa Gay is kind of more defensive rebounding specialist. Nick Jacobs is more an offensive guy. Alabama doesn't have that Nerlens Noel type, you know, Nerlens Noel Dwight Howard type monster in the middle that can go in and grab, give you, you know, 8 rebounds and 4 points and 4 fouls a game. They've got guys coming in next year. They've got a couple of big men coming in. And remember, Anthony Grant really made hay at VCU just basically running teams out of a gymnasium. It's really, really hard to do that when you have to slow the game down to protect the fact you don't have a very deep team.
You don't have enough people on the bench to play that kind of game. Period.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So Anthony Grant is basically trying to make do with a team that I'm not sure it's how he really wants to play. I think he wants to play where they get up and down and you just basically run a team out of a gym. Because that's really, like I said, how VCU won games when he was their coach.
Give Pollard the ball. God in heaven, give Pollard the ball.
That too.
I'm telling you. You know, it'd be fun to watch a 6'7 kid come down and split the lane and say, now guard me. Pull up on the outside because he can shoot the ball. But they're trying to – he is miscast right now, I'm telling you, as a ball player. So what do I know? Hell, I'm sitting up here in Bluff Park, Alabama, you know, postulating. Guys, we got a caller. Let's get our caller on the air and see what they have, because right now all we're doing is kicking each other in the shins about Alabama basketball. Welcome to BAMS. Who do we have?
Al?
Yep.
What up, Robert?
Hey, listen, how are you doing?
Doing good, buddy. You got 5 bomb withdrawals?
What are you talking about, fine bomb? I wish that fine bomb will hurry up, man. I miss him.
Yeah, we all do. If I have to listen to 8 more hours of the round table, one more day, I'm jumping off a bridge, Bird.
God, you know what's sad is you got people around town saying you put the BAMS guys on jocks, and I'm going, oh, Lord, that's dragging the bottom of the barrel, you know. But
I have no problem with that.
Oh, heavens. You know, when
don't
they're,
worry about – I'm sorry, I interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to tip to you, Lincoln. Don't worry about Feinbaum. I'm here for you, baby. I'm here for you.
I love you, brother. I love you, too. I know Bird don't like loving on the show, but I just feel like loving on you, Robert. I miss you, boy. I love you, too.
I love you, too, Lincoln.
It's a kiss-off. It's a kiss-off. How about that? Oh, you're killing me. This is the sweet, sugariest radio in America. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Hey, question. It is damn sport top show in America. Woo-hoo.
Oh, yeah.
High praise from a caller that is well respected across the country. So,
yeah.
Robert,
so how is Bob Bird, Nathan?
Hell, you're talking to him tonight, Goober. I'm on
to
him. Goober, how are you doing, Bob Bird?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. I'm and the more importantly is, how are you doing up there in the cold Iowa weather, you know? But no, brother, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that cold water, man, it's hell.
Need to get
it's
your dad,
hell.
Mom and dad, to come down here where the magnolias are sweet and the women are sweeter, and we've got nothing but, you know, cool warm breezes, and me and Legend are squirting suntan oil on each other right now as we speak. Little
I envy you. I envy you, but my bird, I envy you, Legend. You need to bring that water to me, man.
I wish I could bottle it and bring you some 70-degree weather up there. I've got family that live up in Ames, Iowa, had lived in Ames, Iowa, and been up there several times. And I'm going to tell you, folks, those are hardcore people that live through those winters up in Iowa. That's real winter whenever they get drilled up at across the corn state. Man, it's tough. Tough, Nebraska and Iowa, those winters.
Maybe in March or April it's going to be in that Salmonu Artiki again.
Yeah. Well, it's I haven't heard you in a while, so it's certainly wonderful to hear you. You got anything sports wise you want to lay on us? Because you've always got something good.
So what? Yeah. I heard the Alabama is win over Kentucky. That is good.
It was big, yes, sir. But then we lost to Tennessee.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's terrible. And losing to Tennessee to anything just kills me.
I tell you, that Big Ten basketball is about like the SEC in football. They got some major. I think Michigan might be the best team in the country this year.
I don't know. Indiana looks pretty good. Have you watched Indiana play?
I have seen Indiana play. You make a good point. They're pretty good, too.
That's a well-coached that's a team where everybody – they're hitting on all eight cylinders, and that's an impressive team. But you know what? I won't argue with you at all. I think Michigan is a powerhouse this year as well. That Big Ten's tough. I mean, that's without a doubt the best conference. Even ACC, Big Ten this year is head and shoulders over the ACC. So,
you know what? Legend.
What's up, buddy?
Woody Pooh. I heard that Woody Pooh without Pop and Bob on the air. Woody Pooh call, neither way you're taken.
Oh, Woody Pooh now. He done probably went insane without Paul there. He only got the Paul suicide watches out, some centers open. If anybody can't take the round table, listen to Bam, get you a fix, get something.
Boy, that's true. Oh, have mercy. And, I've come to respect Jay after all this is said and done. And another guy that I really like is, have mercy, I'm drawing a blank, Legend. He's on CBS 42. Dunaway is doing a nice job. I give him credit. And I've always
liked Jim Dunaway.
He's really stepped up and shouldering a big load. And he's a quality broadcaster and a good guy. I'd love to get him on BAM sometime because he's very knowledgeable, and I like his opinions, and it'd be fun to have him on. We need to track him down, don't we?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. Of course, I've been talking bad about the round table for a week now, so.
They're probably don't have you on there with them, for heaven's sakes. You know, round table, get a clue. Hire the
lady. Hey, help me. Hide me around one table. I can tell them one or two sport why.
You are scary, Robert. You are a compendium. You are my Iowa Rock Watts is what you are.
put me on sport wheel. Put me on one table. I can do it.
You're on right now, baby. You're honing your chops and making that knife sharp every time you come on and talk to us on BAMS, that's for sure.
That for sure, Terry. Where is Terry?
I'm here. I'm just letting y'all go. How's it going, Robert?
Rockot had his mic muted. He was emailing me behind the scenes in the back chat saying I'm cracking up. So it's Rock's down in Mobile just to having a ball.
Getting ready for Mardi Gras. It's going to be a blast.
Thanks for the invite.
Anytime.
Hey, Robert, we love you, man. Appreciate you being on the show tonight.
I appreciate it talking to you. And let have Paul find my back in the air, man. We're going to try to get him on.
We really are working on that, Robert, and I can completely understand why his legal counsel would be somewhat worried about him making a public presence, even though we are a jackleg internet show that nobody gives any credence to. I think it's funny as hell. It's like, oh, no, you can't go on BAMS because, you know, it's like, oh, come on. The university won't even give us a good hike of a dog's leg pee on us like a fire hydrant.
Pirate radio.
Wearing the patches tonight, that's for sure. But, man, it is so good to hear from you, Robert. It makes my spirit.
It's a pirate radio.
Is what?
It's a party radio.
Or it's pirate party radio. There you go.
Pirate party radio.
R. Oh, my God. Legend, we're about the end of your hour. Your hour's flown by. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's like these shows we used to have to grind through. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, damn, we're done.
It's 10 o'clock. What? Where'd it go? Where'd the 2 hours go?
Yeah, where'd the 2 hours go? We're going to have to expand this again to a three-hour show, and that's all there is to it. Unless you give us some parting wisdom, Legend, for next week, for, you know, carry us through to signing day, Legend, and take us out of here, Wichita.
Hey, I appreciate you, Bud, Thomas, all the callers tonight, all the advertisers. Love everybody. It's that wonderful time of the year, people. The most wonderful time of the year. 25 presents underneath the tree this coming signing day. This is what it's all about. This is the glory time. Kick back, unwrap every gift, knowing that Nick Saban is not Scrooge, but he's Saint Nick.
it's not Nick Saban. That's for sure. Listen, folks, we appreciate our callers. We appreciate our listeners. Thanks for the people that were in the chat room and chiming in. It makes the show more interesting and gives us fodder to talk about. As always, it's all Bama all the time. We're proud to be Alabama fans first and broadcasters second. And just remember that. So we will see you next week as we open the Christmas presents. Peace out, baby.
Peace out, baby.